Over the past decade, Alaskan natives and natives elsewhere throughout North America have been quite active in defending their traditional subsistence harvests of everything from gray whales to king salmon. Often this defense has taken place in the courts, where natives have fought to maintain access to resources that have been depleted by overexploitation, neglect, or mismanagement by others. Lately, however, in Alaska, natives are beginning to take a more active role in solving management problems before they become crises. Biologist Dolly Garza, a Tlingit and Haida Indian from Sitka in southeast Alaska, is helping the local tribal government and state and federal management agencies cope with an explosion of sea otters in Sitka Sound. Reporter Gretchen Parrish accompanied Garza on a survey trip out on the sound recently to find out how counting otters will, in the long run, protect the subsistence traditions of the region's Tlingit people.
Yeah. See, there's one over there, two over there, and then, I don't know my distance, 200 yards.
Right.
One right, about halfway, and then a couple just to the left of the point.
Scientist Dolly Garza has an eagle eye when it comes to spotting sea otters in the ocean in southeast Alaska. Along with her working partner, tribal biologist Jack Lorigan, they hunt by boat for information on sea otters in Sitka Sound.
And we have a couple different maps. One is on the local distribution and movement of sea otters. And that information is all gathered from boaters and users of the water. We just try and keep an idea of where sea otter are, their movements in and out of Sitka Sound and along Baranof-Chichikov stretch.
Lorigan and Garza are studying the life patterns of sea otters, a species hunted to near extinction by the Russian Empire in the 19th century. The Russians have long since left Alaska, but the sea otters are on their way back. In the last decade alone, otters have appeared in noticeably greater numbers throughout their former range, delighting tourists and wildlife watchers in Sitka Sound, and distressing many who fish for shellfish in these waters.
They're cute and cuddly, but I wouldn't want to have one as a pet. They have to eat about a third of their body weight every day just to maintain their body heat. They don't have a blubber layer like seals and whales.
Since only Alaskan natives like Garza, who is Tlingit and Haida Indian, are allowed to hunt sea otters, she wants to make certain that the interests of indigenous cultures are at the heart of any potential change in policy.
I worked in my doctorate because I felt like there needed to be more Native involvement in how policy is developed, because we tend to get into the end battles, but we don't get into where, when you start developing policy, if you develop it correctly, then that policy can last for a long time. The situation that Alaska's facing is, for probably the last 5,000 years, the population didn't outstrip the resource. But now the number of users and the uses of Alaska's resources are increasing so much that allocation of the resource has become an issue. And so as new users move in or are created, you have to be involved in the process of making sure that the historic uses are protected.
This day is a rare treat in Sitka. The sun and blue sky give animals and humans a much-needed relief from a long, wet winter. The ocean is liquid glass, dotted with wooded islands and framed with snow-capped mountains. There couldn't be a more beautiful spot at this moment. As part of their survey work, Garza and Lorigan land on remote beaches around Sitka and search for sea otter carcasses. By comparing the numbers in Sitka with those found elsewhere in Alaska, they can determine the relative health of the local sea otter population and perhaps get an idea of the leading cause of death. According to Lorigan, Alaskan natives have always made these types of scientific observations. Their survival depended on them.
They would have to be scientists without the formal education, because they would have to know when things are ripe, they would have to know what things are poisonous, they would have to know which things are good for them, which things would make them healthy, which things they had to stay away from, when to move. They would have to know it. they couldn't survive otherwise. I still believe that they are probably the consummate scientists that researchers could only hope to be today.
So you think this is small?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
It would have been nice to find the skull because you get more information from the skull, but just know that it's a dead otter because of the tailbone. It's not a deer. On a deer, the tailbone would have stopped right about in here and it would have tapered down into nothing. Since this is an otter, the tailbone is extending past the pelvis.
While Lorigan is the biologist for the local tribal government in Sitka, yeah. Dolly Garza works for the University of Alaska's Marine Advisory Program. She went to college to study home economics and instead ended up as a biologist with a doctorate in fisheries policy. Her work in Sitka may seem ideal, but it's not always easy. Bad weather and the expectations of her culture can make it demanding.
I think that people expect me to do whatever I can to protect their uses and rights. And there are times when the burden feels so heavy on me that I wish I were a home ec teacher and I wish I could just go to school every day and work with students. Not that that's an easy profession. It'd probably drive me crazy. But I feel that because of my degree, I have that obligation to continue to work for my people for as long as I can.
Reporting for the Alaska Public Radio Network in Sitka, Alaska, this is Gretchen Parrish.